It's great when we can continue to focus and grow in our relationships with God. And again, as I said, I'm glad that we're able to be together tonight. We just finished a series through the month of March, highlighting Women's History Month, and we looked at women in the Bible. And we did it in our midweeks. We talked about just how they had breakthroughs and that they did some historical things. But it was through their relationship with God. And I hope that we were inspired and encouraged, because isn't that what this is all about? Being a part of a community and bringing your part to it. I know the women talked about, identifying their gifts and how they can use their gifts to help build up the body. And Ashton did a lesson back actually the women's retreat in the beginning of the month, talking about how important each part is to the body. And it's so important that we get that on straight, because that comes from our relationship with God. That comes from us knowing how he feels about us, knowing what he thinks, understanding how fearfully and wonderfully we are made in his image and likeness, and that we are to reflect that to those around us, whether in the church, out of the church. And so one of the things we talked about in our core group is we want to begin to focus, since we talked about our relationship with God, we want to begin to focus on our relationships with one another. And so tonight I wanted to kind of kick off this one another way by doing a lesson entitled Learning to Care, Building Better Relationships. There's a quote here, and it says, true compassion is not just having a feeling, but doing something about that feeling. And there's an author named Daniel Goleman. He's the author of the book Emotional Intelligence. And he explains this idea of caring means action. Now, I want to read something to you out of his book. He says, true compassion is not just having a feeling, but doing something about that feeling. We find that although we like the idea of compassion, it's not always our intuitive response to other people's pain. In fact, it is very easy to get so caught up in ourselves that we don't even see the pain of the people around us. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, when Jesus, here it's talking about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. See, Jesus saw people around him. He noticed who they were. He noticed what they were going through. And this mindset determined how he felt about and interacted with people. And it says early in the chapter that he traveled through all the towns, through all the villages in the area, teaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And it says that he healed every kind of disease and illness. And see, part of why Jesus was truly compassionate, because he saw the needs. He saw what was around him. Compassion starts with seeing the people around us. Rather than seeing people as burdens or things to objectify or get validation from, Jesus saw people. And he saw the way the world had affected them. The world we live in can be a difficult place. And Jesus understood that. But the confusion and the helplessness in the crowd of people around Jesus on this particular day, it still exists today. It still exists now. And I'd have to say, given the heightened stress with all of the things that have been endured during the COVID-19 pandemic, the US saw a historic increase in violent crimes this past year. The percentage of young people in America living with major depression has been increased. And many of these young people did not receive the treatment that they needed. These are just a few examples of the pain that we might notice if we really see the people around us. And see, as Jesus looked at the crowds around him, he saw it. He understood it. And he understood that people were going through a lot of things internally. But then he met what they felt with compassion. As a disciple, as followers of Jesus's example, what I want to talk about tonight is how we can learn to see people around us with compassion, just like Jesus did. But why is it sometimes hard to be compassionate? And I want to ask you if you could put something in the chat to that question. Why is it sometimes hard to be compassionate? Take a moment. Think about that for yourself. Why is it hard to be compassionate? Let me see what we get here. Why is it hard to be okay, that's going really fast. Easy to judge a situation than to relate. Sometimes I can relate with the emotions. I can be taking it in personally. Selfishness, self-focus, been hurt, emotionally numb, don't rely on God's strength, self-centeredness, overthinking, selfishness, resistance, being too busy, fear. Wow, those are some great things. Not great things, but yes, exactly. People. Self, 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 self-gratification. People behavior is outrageous. Don't want to deal without issues, so we don't deal with another person's issues. Ignorance. Yep. See, most people, and thank you for sharing your thoughts, most people probably wouldn't argue with the idea that we need more compassion in the world. At the very least, most of us like the idea of compassion and hope people would extend it to us when we need it. But in practice, being compassionate can be very, very difficult. And let's be honest, why? Well, life is busy. There's a lot going on. We get overwhelmed by the things that we need to do. Some of us are taking care of parents, aging parents. Some of us have children. Some of us who aren't married, we're taking care of family members. We're not just sitting around, but we got lives that are complicated and busy. And see, sometimes without us even noticing, other people become supporting actors in a movie centered around ourselves. See, compassion requires us to do one central thing, and that's stop thinking about ourselves, or at least a little bit. And you know what? That's difficult to do when you're trying to be responsible or you're taking care of needs. And so I came up here with a few just thoughts, some things for us to be aware of and let go of if we want to grow in our compassion. And the number one thing here is consumption with self. What do you mean, Russ? Well, using up our energy, our mental energy, our capacity, thinking about ourselves. If I put this clothing on, what does this say about me? You know, what are people going to think if I do this, or if I do that, or if I say this, will I come across a certain way? And sometimes we can just be so consumed with those kind of thoughts that it prevents us from being compassionate. Then you could go to the other side of conceit. Well, what is that? Conceit is an excessive pride in yourself. What do you mean? Trying so hard to be so strong or to do everything right that can lead to criticalness of other people's weaknesses. See, if everybody was like me, then we'd be all right. And we can think ways in that way. And it can prevent us from being compassionate. And then this is, I know one I struggle with, competitiveness. Having a strong desire to be more successful than others. I gotta watch that big time. And I'm not trying to do something to prove somebody wrong or to prove, see, I can and not. You know, these are common struggles for us and people in general, if you can relate. But here's the thing. The Bible can teach us how to let go of these things and develop more compassion. See, Jesus's prayer back here in Matthew 9 was not just for the confused and helpless to get the help they needed, but it was for more workers, more people who will feel for those around them and then do something to meet the needs they see. So, I want to look at three ways that we can learn to build better, more compassionate relationships. And check it out. To love like Jesus did. Amen. So let's look at this. The first thing is listen. Listen. Hearing someone besides myself. You know, if you read through the Gospels in the Bible, one of the things that you see is how often Jesus noticed others. Think about it. He saw the paralyzed man when no one else did. He noticed the woman giving generously, even though she was poor. And he asked the blind man What do you really, really want? See, Jesus was good at loving others because he was good at listening to others. He didn't try to interject his opinion. He wasn't too busy in his own life and plans to slow down and notice someone else's needs. In fact, he was quick to listen to others. He put this into practice, even though it was written way after he had died and was resurrected. James chapter 1, he said, "My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. And be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose." So Jesus was really good at loving others because he was good at listening to others. He wasn't too busy in his own life and plans to slow down and notice someone else's needs. He was quick to listen to others. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any relationships in which it's difficult to get past an argument, where there's constant conflict and friction or distance, or maybe there's even some bitterness there? See, in relationships and in conversation, anger is almost always the easiest option. It's easier to react to to what someone is saying than to really slow down and really hear, where's this person coming from? Think about yourself. When you're angry, or maybe you got some bitterness, you can't listen to the people around you because you're so consumed with how unfairly you've been treated, or how someone has hurt you and they did it again, and you feel rejected. And I heard that, and this is a medical phenomenon, but if your pulse goes over 100, there's parts of your brain that literally shut down. And the parts of your brain that cause you to listen literally shut down if your pulse goes over 100. Check it out. It's a fact. And that's part of why when you have arguments, you don't hear what's going on. And yeah, there's a reason I know that, unfortunately, too well. Seriously, Jesus stopped. He listened and he understood what was going on in people's hearts. And I think one of the things that's going to help us is to really understand, to have compassion. We got to learn from Jesus about slowing down, about setting our own emotions aside, looking past the kind of superficial to see what's really going on with people, and choosing to listen. Okay? Let me ask you, because if you want to understand, well, I don't know if I'm a good listener. Well, ask the people in your life who know you if you're a good listener. Ask the people that know you. Ask the people that you trust. What are your strengths, and what are some ways you could grow to better listen to people around you? And if you really want to know, ask that question. Secondly, feel. Feel. What are you talking about, Russ? Empathizing with others. John chapter 11, let's read this, verse 33. When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet, and all her friends who were with her grieving, he shuddered with emotion and was deeply moved with tenderness and compassion. He said to them, Where did you bury him? Lord, come with us and we'll show you, they replied. Then tears streamed down Jesus's face. Seeing Jesus weep caused many of the mourners to say, look how much he loved Lazarus. Now, many of us are aware of this story. It's found in John 11. And again, if you want to read the whole story, you'll find that Lazarus, Jesus's friend and Mary's brother, had recently passed away. And Jesus knew ahead of time that he was going to raise him from the dead. So if he knew that Lazarus was going to be alive again really soon, why did he feel such strong and deep sadness according to this passage? It's, you know, the NIV says, you know, Jesus wept. And I love the Passion Translation because it's like streams, tears streaming down his face. Some of us have seen the series, The Chosen. And I love that scene where this is, you know, acted out, because the disciples will see him and they go, we've never seen him like that before, as if Jesus lost it. And he did, but it's like, we gotta feel. We gotta feel. Jesus knew what he was gonna do, but in that moment, it didn't matter what Jesus was gonna do. What affected him was what he saw in Mary. He saw the pain that she felt, and he felt it so strongly within himself that it physically affected him. When was the last time a strong emotion you felt was centered around someone else? That you've seen someone in pain and suffering, and it moved you. You know, an essential component of compassion is allowing yourself to feel what others feel. It's not enough to simply notice others, people's feelings, if we don't feel with them. And, you know, we'll talk about the importance of action. But when was the last time a strong emotion you felt was centered around someone else? See, empathy means setting aside our own emotions and channeling them toward another person, even if we aren't personally affected by what they're going through. We can put ourselves in their shoes and allow ourselves to feel what they feel. This doesn't just mean pain and sadness. It could also mean joy and excitement as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 and 4 in the Voice version says, take us into your hearts. Love us as we love you. You have nothing to fear. We have hurt no one, ruined no one, swindled no one. I am not writing these things to condemn you. As I said before, our hearts embrace you, so we stand beside you, whether facing life or death. I am completely confident and incredibly proud of you. Even in all this turbulence, I am at peace. I am overflowing with joy. You know, Paul wrote these words in regards to his relationship with the church in Corinth. I want you to think about this. How easy or difficult is it for you to feel what others feel? What percentage of your emotions are centered around yourself versus centered around other people? You know, for the last 2 weeks, Tuesday through Thursday, I've been on jury duty. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about the case, but This has been one of the most uncomfortable experiences I've been involved with, because I got picked, and now I'm a part of the jury, and we're deliberating, and there was a death involved, and now you're the judge of what's going to happen with this person. And the person is sitting over there, and then the victim's family is sitting over there. And I'm telling you, it is so uncomfortable. And sometimes you look over and you see the family and they're crying, and it's like, it is so, oh, it's made me like not want to do jury duty anymore. But it's also allowing you to put yourself in this person's shoes. And I'm thinking, wow, it's not easy. Because if that were me, man, I want mercy, I want grace. And then it's over here, well, I want justice, and I want, the truth to be upheld. And so sometimes it's just very hard. And then you're now part of a judgment, and it's going to affect somebody in a tremendous way. But is it easy for you to feel what others feel? And if so, why? Because if you have a hard time feeling yourself, if you have a hard time knowing how you're going to have a very hard time being empathetic. But the beauty of this is our Lord can teach us how to be empathetic. Jesus teaches us how. And so that brings me to my last point, action. Action, having compassion towards others. As we learned earlier, Daniel Goleman, in the beginning of this message, it's not enough to feel for others. What matters is what you do about it. And while empathy is the willingness to feel the pain of others, compassion is the willingness to do something about the pain of others. To build relationships like Jesus did, we need both. We need both. Let's look at this last passage, Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26. Then Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must say no to themselves. They must pick up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good is it if someone gains the whole world but loses their soul? Or what can anyone trade for their soul?" I asked a question earlier, and this is kind of another way of asking it, but how much of your mind is focused on yourself during a day? Really think about that. See, following Jesus means that we say no to ourselves and yes to loving others. See, when our goal is to gain the world, to get that status, to reach that achievement or attain that wealth and financial freedom or attention or comfort or pleasure or whatever the world is offering, he says, you and I lose our true purpose of loving God and loving others. And see, there's nothing that we can gain for ourselves that is as powerful, important, or satisfying as living out our purpose in this world. See, when we choose to get up in the morning and I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to get on my knees because I can't do this on my own. I don't feel like it. Lord, help me. Now we're getting somewhere. I don't want to talk to that person who just told me that they're going through all kinds of stuff. And it's like, do I want to get involved? Jump on in. But that means I'm going to have to do something different than just stay comfortable and keep it nice and quiet. And, you know, everything's kind of arm length. See, brothers and sisters, we have to continue to choose to crucify the parts of ourselves that are self-centered. What do you mean? Self-centered. We can be, you know, holier than thou art. And somehow we become the standard. And now all we're doing is going around and we're like the sin sheriff. Or we could be self-glorifying. What we want is attention. See what I did? See how I did that? Oh man, he didn't say anything about what I did, or she didn't say anything about what I did. And we want all of that kind of stuff. Or it's about, hey, I work hard all week. I deserve to just kick back and do nothing. And that's true to a point, but let me tell you, man, you playing video games for 4 or 5 hours a day? That's an addiction. That's unhealthy. That's not good. And then you spend maybe 5, 10 minutes with God. That's a problem. That's a problem. But then it can go to the other side. And we can fall into this category. We could be self-doubting. We could be thinking, oh, well, man, I'm not doing well because I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And we talk ourselves right out of being an instrument that God can use because we're so focused on ourselves and what we can't do. See, we have to find room in our hearts to discover that bigger purpose than ourselves. We got to find ways to keep that battle that's in front of us. And it's in front of all of us. Every day we have a battle and we got to deal with us. And so I want to give us a little challenge here before we wrap up. Here's some common ways that the self can get in the way of us living out God's purpose each day. And then there's some choices that we need to say no to the self and choose love instead of self. But I want you to look at a couple of them here. See, to crucify self-centeredness, we got to decide to listen and hear someone besides ourselves. To crucify self-pity, oh, woe is me, and this happened and that, we have to feel, empathize with others instead of feeling sorry for ourselves. And I'm not minimizing our hurts. I'm not minimizing the things that we've gone through. But self-pity will keep you talking about the same things over and over and over and over again, that you don't get out of that to be able to really help someone else. To crucify self-glory, compassion towards others instead of promoting self. There's nothing more exciting to see someone else progress, to see someone else maybe even see God's dream come true in their lives. Crucify self-indulgence, sacrifice. Love means doing things for others, not just ourselves. And lastly, self-doubt. Self-doubt, the antidote is serve. Love helps others rather than envying or competing. See, brothers and sisters, we have an amazing opportunity. But I want you to stop. I want you to think about how much good we could do in our worlds if we just spent 10 minutes a day thinking about someone and deciding to do one thing that would benefit them. How different would our life teams be? How different would our fellowship be if we just thought about one person, 10 minutes, and then decided to do one thing for them? This doesn't mean thinking about how, someone affected us or how we feel about them, but it means I'm going to take action and I'm going to love. See, this is how Jesus lived. And because he lived this way, he changed the world. Let's love like Jesus. Let's follow his example. Let's build deep relationships so that when people come, when people see, they will know that we are his disciples. Let's pray together.